sort of been in trembling for a day or two about this meeting, but now I see you all, and you're all friends, I feel okay. So I'm trusting to be able to go okay now. Because, you know, it's a kind of an awesome responsibility to go to a place like Lakeland and come back and try to sort of give you an impression of what it was like, because it was such an amazing experience that I don't want to undermine it in any way as I pass it on to, as we pass it on to you. Anyway, I'll tell you what I thought we might do. I've got here, I think, six questions that I thought you might like to ask. I'll tell you what they are, and then you can ask them if you want to. Right? Take my glasses. You can ask others as well. This one. First one. Why did you go? Secondly, why am I shaking? What was it like in Lakeland? What did you receive when you were there? Is this a move of God? Should I go? And can I get some now? Now, if you've not been watching the God TV or whatever it is, God Channel, you won't know what get some means. But hopefully I'll explain that on the way. And then any other questions as well? And as I say, it's just an informal thing. So if something isn't clear, or if I make it too short, let me know. Because I want to give you an honest and a full impression, as best I can in the time that we have, of what it was like. Okay. So, first of all, why did we go? Well, my daughter, Helen, phoned us. Elaine will correct me if I get any of this wrong. She will, honestly. You'll see her do this. No, tonight, now. Just immediately. Watch out. Right, we're being freed up, you see. We're all being freed up in this process. Okay, where was I? Helen, yes, phoned us to say, have you seen this thing on the God TV? This thing that's happening in Lakeland, this, call it revival if you like, but they like to call it an outpouring of God's Spirit. And no, we hadn't seen it, so we switched the television on, and we watched, and we were riveted, is that right? I think so, anyway. We were stuck to it, we got addicted very quickly. Sorry, go on. 4 hours, yeah. And it wasn't long. You going to come and share?
Okay.
Right, watch out. Yeah, you sit there and I'll pass the mic on. The thing is, when you've got the mic, you can take it away. Right. And it wasn't long as we were before. Well, I don't know if it was the first night or the second night we were watching this thing. I really felt that we ought to look into going. It was a kind of a call to the heart, really. That we've seen this thing, this sort of thing before, and to me, on the television, it looked like another major move of God. And when we've experienced it before, it's been such a blessing to us that, as they say, you really are hungry for God, and they keep on using the word desperate, and it is like that. Once you've experienced that touch of God, as we have done in the past, you're ready to go back whenever you can to receive and see and feel that again and to experience that again. Now, it wasn't that easy for us to go because, well, Elaine had a job and we had to get, she had to get permission to have a day off from that. But what we made the decision that if we could, if the way was clear, if we could arrange everything, then we would go. And do you want to say about how it happened?
I'd had an email as well from the, you know, the Trevor Baker thing, the Dudley. And I hadn't taken a lot of notice of it, but when Helen rang, I thought, oh yes, that was that. You know, so that sort of hung together. But on that night, on that Saturday night when we listened, does this work? They mentioned all the things that were wrong with me. They mentioned fibromyalgia 3 times, they mentioned thyroid 2 times, and they mentioned Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is all the things that you see. So, and I'd actually, during the day, I'd wanted to go to another conference somewhere in Leicester sometime, and then I said during the day, I don't want to go there, I want to go to Florida, just joking, you know. Mm. And by the end of the meeting, Paul said, you know, we've got to go. But I haven't come back healed.
No.
But about the off work, obviously I work in a college, so it's very difficult to get time off. And Paul said, well, ask. And I didn't even want to ask, but I asked, and my line manager just said, fill in a form for unpaid leave. Shouldn't be a problem. I'll print a form out for you.
Right.
So I thought, oh, God, I've got to go. And I can't, there's no way I can sit through a 9-hour flight.
No, well, that was the next problem, because we got the flight sorted out, and actually I booked the flight before I got permission from work to go. I was desperate to go, and that all worked out as well. So yes, we booked the flight. We set off on the 8th of May, and the journey was quite an experience, but it was brilliant the way it worked out. We had to get up at 5. We set off from home at 6, got the flight at about 10:30, a 9-hour flight to Orlando, another hour from there by hired car to Lakeland, and with the time difference of 5 hours, we were just about arrived. By the time we got checked into the hotel and everything, we were just about time to go to the evening meeting, which starts at 7, their local time. We stayed for 2 hours, and then we decided we best to go back to the hotel at that stage, because by the time I got to bed, that was it 21-hour day? 22-hour day. So, but in that period, we did get 2 hours in the Lakeland Center. We had a good journey. So, despite Elaine's aches and pains and everything, we actually survived quite well, didn't we? And it was amazing how it all worked out. So, okay, why did we go? Well, because we felt the call. We were desperate to go. And so we went. And we were able to stay there for 10 days. And we were mightily blessed by that experience. Okay. So, now I'm going on. You can ask me questions on the way, you know, if I don't tell you all the details. But what was it like? Okay, well, it was... when you go into this area, you'll find that it's in the centre of Florida. If you know Florida, we hadn't been there before, but it's sort of very flat, with palm trees, sandy ground, lots of lakes, as it says, Lakeland, thousands of lakes, I think. The temperature outside is about 90 degrees, or it can be, or even higher than that, even at this time of year. And it's strange, because when you go indoors, they put the air conditioning on so high that it's quite cool and sometimes even cold inside. So there were occasions when both of us sat in coats inside. And I don't know, they seem to be able to cope with it, but it was the exact opposite to the English situation. You're warm inside, you're cold outside, but there you're cold inside, you go out and it hits you, you know. It's just like a blast of warm air. So that's, and this place where most of the meetings are taking place are at the moment is a bit like the Manchester MEN Arena. It's a civic centre. It may be a little bit bigger than the arena here. I think it holds, this one in Lakeland holds about 8,000 people, I think. And they use it for all kinds of things. So it's a civic centre. And it's all set out for basketball. And it's got the seats all around, and of course for the meetings, they actually put seats in the lower area as well. And they have a big stage with the music, the band playing. You call it a band? Yeah, band. Anyway, just to put you in the picture, you know, you think, all right, people say, okay, well, you walk into this, and did the presence of God hit you straight away? Well, to be honest, it didn't. You were just walking into an arena. I think we both had an expectation because of what God was doing, what we were expecting to happen. And we were, in a sense, like children or grandchildren. We were all sort of ready for it. But in terms of actually being hit by God's presence in that building, well, no, we weren't. It was simply a place to meet. But I would say that if you go next week or the week after, so this is sort of building up as time goes on, and that I believe that people who go into those meetings will actually be hit by God's presence as you actually go into the building. So for us, in a sense, it was quite ordinary going in. In fact, for me going in, it was quite a problem because the music was so loud, Ian, incredibly loud, that I was quite worried by it. You know, it seemed to me to be dangerously loud. And for most of the time, I wore earplugs, to be honest. And these are the kind of things which get in the way, you know. Other people had, yes. And these are the things which, if one is not careful, they can get in the way of what God is going to do. And I want to talk a little bit about that later. Remind me if I forget. Because I want to talk about, you know, the things that block us, that get in the way. You know, the personal preferences, if you like, that get in the way of God moving and doing things. I'll just give you one example. You obviously, when you look at the television screen, you see this man who's covered with tattoos and he's pierced. He's got a pierced lip here. And that would be immediately off-putting. Aidan would know about that. Many people would say, you know, can God use a man like that who's got tattoos all over him? And these are the things we have to work through. I'll talk more about that later. So, okay, we go into the meeting. And what was it like in those as we went in there? Well, most of you, if not all of you, will have seen the God TV presentations, relays. And that gives a very good impression, an excellent impression of what it's actually like in those centres as people worship. And as you can see, as you watch those programs, it is intensifying the enthusiasm for those who are worshipping is increasing as time goes on. And as you look over the arena, more and more people are getting involved. Initially, it would just be those around the front who were worshipping and going wild. But as time went on, more and more people, and in the end, the arena was mostly largely full and occupied by people who were worshipping God with wild abandon. And just being in that presence was a blessing in itself. Because all of these people, most of them in fact, had come a long distance from all over the world. Some as far as China, all over Europe, and Australia, New Zealand, you know, you name it, that they've come from all over the world. And you don't go that distance unless you're desperate to find and meet with God. And so, you know, when you get a group of people like that together, they are wild, and they're wild for God. And it's a great blessing to experience that. So the TV does give you a good impression, but I think for most people, you don't actually feel God's presence as you would do if you were there. I think, you know, the television can do an awful lot, and many people are being healed simply by experiencing that on the television. But for most of us, we would have to go there to actually experience the nearness of God, which is there, the presence of God. But having been there and having experienced it, then watching it on the TV is quite different. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. So, okay, are we all right so far? Yeah? Now, if you go into these meetings, you'll find that people start to go into the building at about 5. And some people are worried about not getting in, so they go early. At the moment, you know, if you go about this time, then you will be able to get in. But people will start going in and immediately will start congregating in that front area in front of the band. And they will wait there for 2 hours before the service starts. Okay? And then there'll be worship, loud worship, for nearly 2 hours. Okay? In your element. And then there'll be ministry. And that will go on, you know, till 11, even 12 o'clock. And by about 12, these things start to wind up, because they're not allowed to, strictly, they're not supposed to stay there after 12 o'clock. So, why is it, you know, why is that in a church like that? And it can only be because all these people have come, because they're desperate to know God, to experience His presence, and to receive some of that that fire and that glory. Yes, that's right. What you see on the television isn't the whole picture. As well as the evening meetings, which you see, which are presented by an evangelist, there are meetings in the morning as well, which you don't see. Well, you can get them on the computer if you want to see them. They take place about 10 o'clock in the morning, so the 5 hour difference means that you can watch them at about 3 o'clock. And here. And there, whilst we were in those meetings in the morning, there's where we found the teaching in particular. In the evening, Todd doesn't actually use much in way of scripture, really, but the most extension, that's how it is. And the fruit of it is that there are many, many hundreds, even thousands, I think now, who are being set free and being delivered and being healed. And the evidence of that will only be clear in time. But it's that they're doing miracles, but I'm not doing that very often. So yes, that's how it is. And the ministry is an exhortation, as you see it on the television, with healing ministry. And it's powerful. Okay, what did you receive is my next question. Right, well, I'm going to speak for myself, and then Elaine might want to add something, how she felt about it. But I was richly blessed by our 10-day spell stay. It was an amazing experience, and one which, well, in a sense, we didn't want to come back. We would have preferred to stay there because, you know, the presence of God was so rich. I mean, I got used to the sound, the noise. In the end, I was beginning to manage without the earplugs. But, you know, the presence of God in the atmosphere was so powerful that I don't know how to explain it, but I think this is a safe environment, so I'll share something with you which I haven't shared with. I've only shared it with two or three people in my lifetime, and that many years ago, I received from the Lord a mighty impartation, and it was so powerful. It wasn't actually under anybody's ministry, in the sense that God came to me in the quiet of my own room. And it was so powerful that, you know, I didn't want anything else. It came to me, the Lord came to me in the night time, and came to me over a period of, you know, that experience recurred over a period of weeks, so much so that I wanted to go to bed. I didn't want to wait, you know, because God was so powerful. And that gave me, God imparted to me then an understanding that I was to operate in a healing ministry. Now, that I've never actually done. In a sense, it's got lost in the years. But it was clear that dream or vision that came to me was clear to me and very evident. The power of God came through me in such a way that it was obvious that I was to move in a healing ministry. And that knowledge of God's presence was so precious, and it sort of dwindled over the years. But it came back just momentarily in Toronto, but here at Lakeland it came again. And when you've experienced that, there's nothing else you want to live for. You know, it's so powerful. And, you know, it means everything to you. What about that today? If you have a wanted to. How do we do this? Input. This is the prophecy.
The prophecy? Well,
yeah, I'll tell them about it. I'll tell them about the prophecy. Or do you want to tell them?
Well, I was just going to say that we're obviously just there, you know, enjoying the meeting, and then they suddenly started talking about England and prophesying about England, and we were sort of, oh wow, you know. and actually Trevor Baker was there, wasn't he, at the time? You know, some of you know Trevor and Sharon Baker were there, and they had all us English people go out to the front, and there must have been over 100, mustn't there? And I feel quite frustrated, because if there are 100 from England, there must have been quite a few from the Manchester area. We met Emmanuel from Canada in a queue, in a line. But it was so exciting to, you know, to go out to the front and have them, you know, they hands on us sort of for England. And Trevor actually came round and laid hands on us all, didn't he? But that was so. This happened while we were actually at the front, wasn't it? This bit. I mean, there were quite a lot of prophets, because Bob Jones was there and Bobby Connors. So it's all. But I think this was just when. You know, we were all at the front, and so we couldn't actually hear it. The box sound being so.
It takes a while. It's back on. Sorry about that. I've gone and switched it off, so it takes a couple of seconds, 10 seconds or so, to go back on. Is it on? It's coming back on. 26, 25. You'll get there eventually. You might be on this clip, actually. Yes, you probably heard that they're planning to continue there in Lakeland as long as this outpouring continues. Right. So, you want now to have input two? Go on. Oh, you can do it. Two. Yep. Oops. Start. Play. Now we have to listen carefully, because they.
Essential, and one of the definitions mean the removing.
I'm going to rewind that. Right, this is Bob Connors, Bobby Connors, and he's recognised as a prophet, and he's been asked to say what he's experienced and what he's heard from God, and he's come here with Bob Jones.
Bobby Connors to the platform. God bless you. God bless your heart.
Wow. Wouldn't you like to be able to preach like that? Isn't that incredible? And not only preach, but have a word from God to say what's going to happen. Yeah, and that guy has, you know, and the others as well, have credible prophecies, you know, prophecies which have, you know, come to pass. You know, they've prophesied things in the past, and they've happened. And this is what this guy, I think he's a man of God. And there's your scripture, and a man of God who's trusted, who believes that this is going to hit the UK. And we can get on board, or we can, you know, we can let it go. It's not the God doesn't need us in the end, but we can enjoy that if we choose to. So it was in that atmosphere that then all of the UK people were invited to come to the front and to be for Trevor. To Trevor Baker to lay hands on us. Now, if you'd asked me before the meeting if I wanted Trevor to lay hands on me, I probably would have said no. I don't know whether you know Trevor, but we've met, you know, we've been under his ministry in the past, and you know, it wasn't that exciting. But you know, when you're desperate for God, then you'll take that anointing from anybody. It doesn't, and in the end, it's not the man, it's not the person who's bringing it. It's just, you know, seeking after. We all, well, apart from me, everybody else ran out, and I went forward quickly, and we lined up, and we were prayed for. And if you follow the rest of that, you'll see that most people were fell to the floor as Trevor laid hands on us. I didn't. One or two of us were left standing. But when I got back to my seat and sat down, well, I ended up on the floor almost immediately, and I was shaking like a jelly. And that in itself isn't a big deal, but it is. It's encouraging because you know then that God is touching you, and it's something. It's a kind of something which touches you both physically and spiritually. Because it's like a fire, it's like electricity, and it's an empowering. And if you can feel it, but if you do feel it both in your body and in your spirit, then it, you know, it becomes real for you, and it doesn't go away. And the scriptural principle is that as you give that anointing away, as you impart that anointing to others, then it grows. If you don't give it away, then it dies within you. It dies inside of you. There isn't time actually to go through the scriptures this evening, but perhaps another time we might have opportunity to actually search through the scriptures and justify these statements that I'm making. You don't accept them, and I think as people pass it on to others. But the prophecy there was that this particular anointing, as it goes out, is going to increase as it's passed on from one to another. So the impartation that I've received, have I lost it?
Right. Don't speak into this. Well, it's live. Right. Until I've turned it down at the desk.
All right.
And the wicker.
All right. The impartation that anyone is, because you know, maybe you won't experience that as we pray for you later if you want to be prayed for. Maybe you won't experience that, I don't know, but the principle is that in the UK this is actually going to grow. And if Bobby Connors is right, if his prophecy is accurate, then this is going to be an amazing new move of God. And that can only be seen in the testing, you know, as something historic, you know, as we look back in 20 years' time, or whatever, if we're still alive, will we recognise this as being something not only like the Welsh Revival, not only like the Hebridean Revival, not only like Azusa Street, you know, all of these great awakenings in the past. But if the prophecies are right, and if my personal expectation is right,
then this is going to be much bigger and difficult to put down the context. You know, in so many, are we there? Yeah, William? Okay, there's so many years we've been longing for this. You know, you talk about the deer panting. You know, the psalm that we hear about, the deer panting. That's been our soul cry, my soul cry, for years and years. You know, oh God, come to this country. You know, restore our land. You know, renew our land. Will it be in my lifetime? Yes. You know me, I'm not wild. I'm an ordinary guy. I'm not, shall we say, irrational. I'm a former university lecturer in mathematics. Some people think that I'm reasonably bright and rational. And I have the ability to analyse things and to test things and to see whether they are true or not. And you know, most of these guys you see on the screen, you know, you can excuse it. You know, many of them are young. You won't see me dancing and shaking my arms around. But we have gone into that situation to look at it honestly and say, is this anointing of God? Is this, you know, really going to happen? The connection through the satellite, through the whole of the world, to 240 nations, means that any revival, any part of the world, can spread immediately around the globe. And it's going to places like Iran, Iraq, Egypt. So the Muslim world, and the Muslim world are listening, they're interested in the miracles. It's the signs and wonders that make Muslims interested. And, you know, this is, talk about wildfire, this is potentially wildfire. So that is my honest assessment as a calm, collected, rational person. I believe that we are in, you know, the greatest, potentially in the greatest times in the history of the church since the early church. And that is mind-blowing stuff. It really is incredible. It makes no use, the time in the evening is wild and it's noisy. But in the morning, you go to Ignited Church. And you see there are two prongs to this. There's the local church with a pastor who you would love, who's doing, you know, one side of it, and on the other side you've got this wild evangelist in the evening with all the tattoos and everything. And if you're like me, then you don't really appreciate that wild worship in the evening. Sorry, Ian. But the morning is a bit more like what we had experienced. But, you know, it's sweet and it's powerful and it moves you to tears. And it's that which really restores, you know, restores the soul as you get into God's presence in that sort of quieter environment. Okay. I'm showing my preferences here. Sorry about that. Okay, is this a move of God? I think I've said that already. Am I going on too long? You excuse me, won't you? I'm keen about this stuff. Okay. Some people are saying that this move in Lakeland is the third wave. And by that they mean that Toronto was the first wave. Now, you know, it's all the theologians that talk about these things, and you take your pick which wave is which wave. But I remember years ago the third wave was actually, you know, the vineyard thing and all that. Very far, I mean, for God's people. After that, we had Pensacola and Brownsville, down in Florida, I think it is, and that was all about people being saved, about repentance, and about holiness. I mean, this, in a sense, is what we would understand as a revival. It was solid on the Word, and, you know, Joyce would have loved it. It was basically repentance and renewal and holiness coming out directly out of the preaching of God's Word in a local church. Both of those two moves were in local churches. This one is different. This one, the third one, there are two sides to it. There's the local church in one part of it, and then there's also this evangelistic crusade that's going on in the evening. So you, in a sense, you've got a tension between the two, because the evangelist, you know, he goes and he converts people. That's his goal, is to get people converted. And hundreds have been led to the Lord every evening. As Todd makes the what he calls the altar call, but there's no altar there, obviously, it's just a stage. But you know, many people, and he is convinced that there'll be thousands which that are brought to the Lord through these through this exhortation, through the word in part, and through the signs and wonders that are following. And so you've got these two components, and basically what you see here is, if you like, a combination that's all gone before, because the word is there. Not clearly, but it is. I mean, you'll see it there. As we saw on the screen, I mean, that was preached in the evening service. You won't get better preaching than that anyway. And that you know, combination of the word with signs following, and that being transmitted to the whole of the world, is a dynamic mixture. It's explosive. And that's what we're looking forward to. So, I think I've said all of that, but I've got written down here. Anyway, at the end of the day, you know, it's not my opinion that matters. You can check it out for yourselves. And let me just tell you about some of the things which can put you off. Are you alright, then?
Yeah, I'll just do a couple of questions.
Yeah, go on. Sorry? Okay, yeah, go on. Do you want to?
Well, I don't know whether I have it. The other thing, I feel is different from what I do. I feel that you all, is there anybody who hasn't watched it on television? I don't think you'd be here if you haven't. Oh, you haven't? Haven't watched it on television? Okay, well, when you watch it.
Yeah. I was wrong about Trevor. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I've changed my mind about Trevor.
You changed his mind about You need to know that.
You need to know that.
Because I said you didn't. Anyway, it's just that when you watch, as I said, I think those of you who've watched will sort of know as much as we do, really. Because you...
You've been speaking, yeah.
But I just sort of perhaps give a little bit of background to the place, if you're watching, so it just perhaps means a little bit more. The pastor is the one who comes up. Who's seen? Let me see. Who's actually watched it in a bit? Right. Well, for those of you who haven't, you have to remember before you do. The pastor is the one that goes up with the computer.
Laptop, yeah.
The laptop, and reads out some of the emails. Now, I don't know if you know, but there's you can send emails, a prayer request in. And I don't know, do they go to Jerusalem?
The ones you send to the God TV.
If you send them prayer requests to Ignited Church, .com. And they don't read them all. They can't possibly read them all, but they sort of put them somewhere and pray generally over them. And there's been you can then do Ignited Church praise at ignitedchurch.com when you've had results and people had absolutely wonderful hearts. And I mean, we've experienced sort of an evangelist being in the pastor's position, and it doesn't work because the evangelist deals with a person, then he's on to the next person. So the pastor has to sort of pick up the pieces, you see. And Todd has all these wonderful ideas, like, let's print out all these emails and burn them at the, this is at the open air one, if anybody saw that one. So Stephen has to get permission, get a fire engine to come and everything. And he's sort of, you can see, he does it, says it in humour, but you can see that he's absolutely behind Todd. But you can see that he does have a problem. But in fact, he says that, God, I don't know if he's thinking of Todd or God, but he said, if I'd organised this conference, it would have been so well organised that it wouldn't have lasted at all. He's a real organiser, but he obviously thinks the world of Todd. He actually said, he's a tell you a secret, which he said, you know, is on the internet and everything, but they are trying to keep up all the time with this, because as they say, we couldn't have invented it, we couldn't have, you know, planned this and made it happen, and they actually couldn't print out all the emails
was it 1,500, 1,800 or 18,000?
That was a large number.
But they had to print these out, you see, to have them go on fire, and they couldn't do them all. He said, I'll let you into a secret. And he was on the, he's, you know, this church with 1,000 people going out on the internet all over the world, but he told us a secret. He said that they couldn't print them all out, so they actually went to Staples and got some plain paper and put it underneath and put all the other ones on top and burnt off. He said, well, our hearts were right. So, you know, they're so open. I mean, you know, a lot of things wouldn't, they wouldn't say that, would they, that they'd done that, you know, if they weren't open. And the, I mean, we went to the Bible teaching, it was 10 o'clock. We thought about an hour and a half, and at 20 to 2, we left. And that was it every day, wasn't it? And some people reckon that that was more powerful. But that was a church with, you know, sort of a bit like this in a way, you know, with the carpet and stuff, whereas the other one was
the arena.
But then now, I don't know if you heard today, but they're now having a thing at half past one.
Yeah.
And then they're going to send them out. They said they were going to do that then, but they tend to say things and then they don't actually do them. Because Todd has these ideas, so they can't actually implement them. But that's just a bit of the background, really.
Right.
You know, the setup there. I did just write some of it. I've never wanted to stay anywhere as much. You know, the whole thing, you know, was just amazing. And I mean, just in our hotel, everybody there was at the conference. So everybody was sort of praying for each other as well. But there were a lot of sick people who were not healed. You could see them. You know, they were very obviously sick. And this is what Todd is. I mean, I don't know if you heard the one about, there was somebody from Uganda there, and he said, Todd had ministered with him in Uganda, and he said that in Uganda we need to, he wanted to go to a morgue, to cut it short. He actually prayed for everybody in that morgue, and he said it was smelly, it wasn't like English morgue, and he put his hand on everybody and prayed for them. And this man said, when we came out, nobody who was dead, who had been dead, was alive, but we were all praising God because somebody believed the Bible. And I think you're seeing the fruit now of this. You know, you just have to do it. You don't have to think, you don't have to even look at results. I mean, yes, it's wonderful when people are healed, and the compassion and sort of the pastor spirit, you know, is absolutely thrilled when people are healed. But that's not it. Because, you know, that didn't put him off.
No.
You know. And he's just there with it. It's just one, you know. And it, nothing's new. It's just the Bible. Absolutely all there, and it's just doing it.
I don't know if there's time, but I was
would you say the purpose, you see, maybe is God's purpose to build up the body, the faith of the body, so that they can have the conviction that God is going to do something?
Yeah.
That not that you go up for healing,
right,
particularly,
no,
but that the actual body of Christ is alive with the knowledge that God's power is there for them to use, you know, to be part of.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that the...
Yeah, I think so. And you know, although we didn't... Although people were not healed, everyone was blessed. Yeah. And the thing is, we don't understand everything in the end. But it's taking on the beginning to let all the other things... Go on.
How can you fly back? Like, did you go and get...
Well, I was faithful a lot, and actually on one of the morning, I was faithful a lot. I think there is a bit of change, but there was actually one morning, or two, there was a church, and I think which was in the deliverance, and that was incredibly powerful. And that was really a lot. But how was it obviously about?
Yeah, like back to the flight out.
I think that I did manage, and I managed to meet a lot there, so I didn't have to be across the church, because they were long. But I think that, from the Holy Spirit, I think when the Holy Spirit is very powerful on you, I think you have an energy which is independent of actually whether you're healed or not. And I think it's really important to develop those energies. It was amazing. I mean, we never got home. We must have had an average of 5 hours of sleep every night.
Gosh.
Then 4 hours one night. So mostly it was six. But it was never even 7 hours. We just managed to have an hour in the middle where we had to sleep in the hotel room. And it was just, we got up from 20 past 2 to 5 o'clock, we had to get back, 10 minutes drive from there, 20 minutes to Winnipeg, had to have our lunch and our dinner. And then, you know, it finished sort of midnight. Well, when it was in the park, it was just 12 until 10. I mean, it wasn't until 10 in the morning, but, you know,
there may be an opportunity again sometime to go into this in more detail, but you know, given a few hours, you know, one could go into, if you like, the theology almost of how things are. But this is just a short presentation. It does raise questions, but the key is, you know, am I going for it personally? What do I expect? You know, do we believe this is a move of God? And we all need to check it out and see what you feel personally. I did want to say very briefly that, you know, this business about things that put you off, you know, the tattoos. And really, we do need to face up to our prejudices. And we all have them. And if we're honest with ourselves and think, okay, this guy's got tattoos and he's pierced, but do we cut it all out simply because of that? You know, do we say, you know, this is not a move of God because of he's got what he looks like? And if we think back to Scripture, you know, would we have gone and listened to John the Baptist? And would the you know, would the religious people, or did the religious people go and listen, and did they take it on board? And chances are they didn't. They were offended by what he looked like, you know, with his was it camel's haircut, was it? And what he was eating, for goodness sake. Well, you know, who in his right mind would eat that sort of stuff? So, you know, the religious people, you know what I mean, would cut all of that out of the Bible. You know, you can't have John the Baptist in there. Cut him out because he's not presentable. And then, you know, thinking about these prophets, you know, that some of these prophets have fallen on the way. They've had amazing prophecies which have come true, but a couple of them, you know, they've fallen by the wayside. They've sinned, and they've had to be corrected by the church. And some would say, well, you can't have those people on the platform. Because, you know, they've fallen. Well, that gives us a problem again. Because what about David? We're going to cut him out of the Bible. All of that stuff has to go because David fell in a major way. And you know, after he fell, he came back, and we didn't cut it all out just because he fell on the way. And let's be honest. You know, are we any better in God's eyes? We're all made of the same thing in the end. So there are religious people, you know, and I mean that in the sort of a negative sense, who will look at this stuff and they will say, you can't use him, you can't use him. And, you know, we're making a mistake. And the key, I think, is not to listen to those people. You've got to look at them. Totally accurate and in every detail. And God is honoured. And if you look at that guy, Todd, he may not look very good, but you'll see there, if you listen to him and watch him, you'll see a man of integrity. I'm not saying what he's going to be like in the future, but if, you know, we need to pray for him, but if he does fall, you know, imagine the pressure. It's just a church like this in a way. Suddenly it becomes a, you know, worldwide God using people like you and me who have sinned, who have failed from time to time. You know, we're not always up to the mark. So, you know, let's not listen to these sort of revival police, they call them. You can, if you really want to, you can find it on the internet, and it's devastating stuff. It really is. It makes you want to cry. If you experience God's presence in that atmosphere, if you see the way Jesus is lifted up, the way his name is honoured, and then you go and read this stuff on the internet, it really is devastating. And, you know, basically, yes, if you're desperate to go, if you're desperate for the presence of God, and you kind of might find the money and the time and all the rest of it, then go and experience it for yourself. Because this is for every, this is for all of God's children. It's about mobilizing the whole of the church. It's about a no-name ministry. You know, it's not the ministry for key people, for certain well-known people. It's a church.
You know, what if we were that hungry for God here and now?
Yeah.
I know that God is obviously manifesting himself for whatever reason in a powerful way there.
Right.
At the moment, but what if we were all that hungry here?
Yeah.
This Sunday morning.
Right. Right.
And
okay.
Do you think there's a difference in that, in going there or just saying, come on, let's get hungry here and where
we go
here?
No, let me put your mind at rest straight away there. But if you go there, then that will be a blessing. You will experience some fleshy things, things of the flesh which might put you off. But you have to sort of go through that and go into the presence of God. But at the same time, that same outpouring, and even more powerfully, is already coming to the UK. So in another sense, you're not going to have to wait for it to come to all of us. And I've been touched. And if you, the elders have prayed together with the wives, the elders' wives, and if you wish, we can pray for you and trust that that same impartation will come to you. That's scriptural, by the way. You'll find it in scripture. We can talk about that. And trust that you will receive that in the same way that we have. So, yes, it is available now. And, we can sort of put the bellows on the fire, the embers, and we can, we're looking to God moving tomorrow night, Sunday, because you will have heard that Curtis is coming, and he's fired up because he's had this dream about healings coming here, and he's been to Lakeland, so he'll come fired up, and it will be an impartation there. So who knows what the state of this church will be by Sunday evening.
Can I just say that if anybody's not watched it because they've not got video or something, then you can record and
get got videos. Yeah.
I mean, when they record, if it was live, it would be on from 12 midnight till 5 o'clock. So what you actually watch the next night is the night before. So obviously, if we then record it, you'll be another day later. But I don't think it makes any difference.
No. That's really all I've faith. In the ordinary way, before we went out there, we were dry, and maybe been dry for many years. We could do the stuff, but this
is fantastic. Some of the things that were happening,
right?
And it really is God doing it. And you can see that clearly.
Yeah.
And it's just been. I can feel an excitement building up.
Right.
I just want to know if you've been there. This excitement, that's
right.
Because I think it's that excitement that's going to, it's like fire that's going to affect us to receive these things happening. It's what we all want. It's what in our hearts we all want.
Right. And it is an energy. It's something I can actually feel this in my body. And I, something which we ask to give away, to pass on.
I think there's some relief as well in that. As Christians, we've always thought, we know these things should be happening. And, they've happened in part. I mean, like Todd says that, in his 10 years of ministry, 4 people have been raised from the dead. Whereas they've had, was it 11?
12, I think, now.
12 in so many days. And I think it's sort of a bit of a relief, really, that Christianity doesn't work.
Yeah, it confirms what you read in the scriptures, that it not only did it happen then, but it's happening now. I mean, not every testimony will be verified, but there's so many and they're so powerful, there are going to be some, and there are going to be a significant number which are lasting. They will still be there in 10, 20 years' time, and at that point, the historians will be able to look back and be able to write an accurate documentation of everything. At this time, we have to go, by the feel of it. It feels like God. And honestly, it's literal. I've known God's presence in the past, and this feels like God. And, that's all we can say. What I'd like to, any more questions before we move on?
Given my ignorance, you probably all know this question, but the answer to that would be...
I don't see what it's about.
There is a lot in, I think, from what we've heard here, that the heart, they say this is without guile. And in fact, you know, it's just a joke to nothing to do with everything. So he's kind of got nothing to lose. So he's very sort of honest. So I think, although, I mean, one night he wasn't there, and the other, I mean, it's not, it doesn't depend on him. But I think there may be a lot of history in his life that's meant that, and I don't know why now, why there, but I think he's really been.
His ministry is something to behold, because you've probably seen it on the television, but it is amazing.
He was invited, though, wasn't he, to go?
Yes, he was.
He was invited to go.
Yes, by a church like ours, basically. In many ways, the local church is very much like our church here. Bigger, I guess, basically, but not that much bigger. On the Sunday morning we went, and the pastor says he has to... reserve the first three rows for his own people, and that, you know, can't be more than a couple of hundred people at most. And
that's so cool. He was the only supposed to preach for one night. He was there too. He was there
right.
For one service.
Right.
And he's been there since.
Yeah.
But that's what the pastor said.
Right. I don't know whether John you want to come and organise this, but how are we going to? I mean, anybody who wants to be prayed for, whatever you want to call it. You know, we're happy to do that, and trust. At this point, you know, we just trust. It's a scary bit, but we just trust that God is going to do what He wants to do in your lives, and it's not in the people. It's nothing to do with who is doing it. It's to do with what your hunger for God or openness. And you know, if you experience the same anointing, they call it, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, praise God for that. But it's something which you can take, and it's something which will encourage you, and will build your faith, and it will make you able to minister out of the overflow. Do you understand what I mean by that? You'll minister out of the overflow. It's not a scary thing. It's not as scary as you imagine, because it, you know, you're filled, and it's out of the overflow that other people experience. I've not really come prepared to say much tonight, but if you've experienced anything tonight, then it's out of the overflow. Are you with me? So I don't know how to organise it, John, but I don't want to pray for people who don't want to be prayed for. But if you, you know, how should we do it? Go on, you organise it.
John, do you remember what Kevin wants? If you want.
Do you want to put that back on?
Take it back, would you? The impossible is to be not.